Hey guys, welcome back to HardRockRadioLive.com. I'm DJ Lovely Laura. A little special request there, a little Tesla going out to Old Metal Dude. Well, I hope you guys are ready to get started. I have a very special guest with me today, the fantastic drummer, Mr. Simon Wright is joining me live from LA. Simon, what's going on?
Hey Laura, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I hope I didn't wake you up too early. I know how you musicians like your sleep over there.
Yeah, I just set my alarm clock. No, I've been up for a while now.
We're going to have a groggy Simon then.
Yeah.
I'm feeling kind of like a bobblehead. I went out to a show Saturday night, man. My neck is killing me.
Oh, no.
Doing that headbanging. You still get a sore neck when you're out there on your drums banging your head and stuff?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. Mostly my arms and stuff because they're moving around and... you know,
right.
I'm working it up there, you know, but yeah, no, it's usually okay.
All right, you guys. Well, I met Simon out at the Dio's Disciples show out at Trees in Dallas, Texas last month. Simon, you guys put on a fantastic show, man. You guys were just incredible.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Laura. It was a great show. You know, it was a great turnout, and, you know, Texas has always been a hotbed, so to speak, of... you know, rabid fans and stuff of Ronnie's, and it was a great night. It was a really good night. Great place to play, too. Great sound system. Great club, you know. It was a really, really cool night.
Yeah, the crowd...
And thanks for coming out.
Oh, no problem, man. You know, it was funny because I didn't even have tickets to that show, Simon, and I knew I had to be there. I didn't know if you guys were going to be sold out, and I swear to God, I stepped out of my car, and a guy came up to me and gave me 2 free tickets.
Oh, look at you. Who was that guy?
I don't know, but I was like, you know, I was like, Ronnie, I know I'm supposed to be here tonight. I know it.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right, so you guys, you also had some live footage from that night that I didn't know you guys recorded. I just saw that over there on your page, so that was really awesome that you guys could share that with some of your fans.
We didn't record that. I think somebody in the crowd recorded it, but they did a pretty good job of it and all. And yeah, there were a couple of postings around. Yeah, pretty good sound. It's surprising sometimes, you know, the little handheld, you know, the iPhones sometimes can produce a pretty good quality, you know, footage of the band and stuff. So yeah, it turned out pretty good. Yeah.
All right, so we were like the last leg of the tour. You guys stopped, the last show was in Texas, and were you guys, when this all came about and you guys are putting it together, because I know you guys don't really like being called a tribute band, because this isn't about being a tribute band, it's kind of a memorial show, I would think. Did you say that?
Well, we're not very keen on the idea of being called a tribute band. I don't know, as we tend to think of it more of as, and not as a memorial either, really. It's just sort of like a celebration of Ronnie's music. You know, we really put a lot of thought into this, the set, and, you know, the pacing of the set and the songs and stuff. So we really really want to get up there and just, you know, and with Ripper and Toby, they do a great job, you know. I mean, they...
yeah, they did.
You know, they're not trying to replace Ronnie by any means. You know, a lot of tribute bands have a guy who kind of looks like Ronnie and stuff, and it gets,
right.
You know, some of it's cool, but, you know, we're not trying to copy what Ronnie did. We're just, it's like a big celebration, and we, you know, obviously we were in Ronnie's band for, you know, quite a number of years, so, you know, it's more of a complete celebration, and, you know, just what better way to see, you know, Dio songs live. I mean, that's the way these songs were pretty much meant to be, so it's kind of a celebration, really. Yeah,
definitely. I felt the magic in the air. I mean, it felt like Ronnie was there. I'm serious. And, you know, were you guys a little apprehensive about how his fans were going to accept you guys when you decided to get this this thing going?
Oh, of course. Yeah, we thought about it long and hard and discussed it, you know, on many occasions before we eventually came to the conclusion that we couldn't really let it go. But, you know, the fans are number one. I mean, that's why we're doing this. We're doing this for the fans. So, and we were a little bit in trepidation as to what it would be like. But we started in Europe in July or June, I think. Yeah, and we started in Russia, in Moscow, and it was just, you know, immediate to us. You know, the emotion in the in people's faces when we were playing the songs was took us back a bit. I mean, there was a lot of crying and stuff and cheering, obviously. And stuff.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, it's a whole bag of mixed emotions in one night. But they were all there for Ronnie, you know, and the same reason we're there. We're there for Ronnie and his fans, and we want to keep his music alive. So, yeah, it was, we were a bit dubious about things, but we seem to, people who go and come and see us seem to like what we do. So, it's all good, you know.
I think it's a great thing. I think it's... You know, it's not just a celebration, it's a healing process for everybody that has mourned over him. You know, I never had the privilege to meet him, but I was talking to you by the bus that I mourned for 2 days. So it's really incredible how you realize how much someone touches your life with their music and just how, you know, how can...
I mean, he touched so many people's lives. He was just, you know, a great, great man, a character, you know. He would... You know, he would meet fans, you know, and 10 years later he'd meet the same fans, and he'd know their names, and he'd be asking about what happened to their brother, or you
oh,
know,
wow.
he knew everything. You know, he remembered so much about, you know, people, and he brought people in, you know, and made them feel important and stuff, and it left a lot of people in awe because, you know, he was Ronnie James Dio and stuff, and he remembered them, and he was quite a man, yeah.
So do you remember any special memories in your friendship with him that you could share with us? Maybe a story or something, Simon?
Oh, there were so many. I mean, I was in his band in the 90s, towards the end of the 90s, just for a couple of years. But, yeah, having been in the band for about 14 years, there were so many. I do remember one that was, Ronnie was... You know, he could be a tough boss, and he didn't take any crap from anybody, you know,
right.
which was great, you know, but
right.
There was also kind of a caring side to him. I remember one time we were in Russia, and we'd had a really early, a late show and a real early morning wake up, and we'd been flying all day, and we were all completely, you know, we'd done like 5 in a row, something like that, so we were ready for the day off, and we're all exhausted, and we pull up at the airport and get off the plane, and there's like, you know, a bunch of photographers and press and stuff, and they're all, you know, surrounding him, and we're walking out, and all of a sudden he stops and he sees these kittens, these cats, you know, just wandering around.
Right.
Out in the street there, you know, and they're all looking pretty disheveled and stuff. So he stops and he goes back in the airport, goes to the bar, gets a glass of milk, brings it out and gives it to the cats.
Aww.
And everybody was, we're kind of going like, what the hell is he doing, you know? But he stopped everything and went in and got milk and fed these poor cats, you know. I was just like, that's remarkable, that's amazing.
Yeah,
that, you know, I knew he loved cats and animals and dogs and stuff, but
yeah, that's an...
Everybody was what's he doing now?
What's he doing? There's kittens over there.
But there's so many. I mean, he was a great guy to be around. I mean, it's
right. That's awesome. So, what made you guys decide to bring in two singers for the Dio's Disciples instead of one?
Well, we wanted because, you know, there's so many of Ronnie's songs, and we didn't really want to just like have the one singer in the firing line and stuff. Plus two singers, you know. I mean, you're gonna have a certain amount of range there, and a difference in approach and styles and stuff. So we thought we'd try it. We knew Tim from, you know, Ronnie knew Tim too from way back and stuff, and
right.
And he had been managing Tim for a while, so he was kind of family and stuff. Ronnie talked on the phone to him quite a lot, giving him advice and stuff, and just chatting and stuff. And so he was, you know, kind of one of the first choice, and you know, they just do a great job together. Toby is from who was kind of mentioned to us by our agent. I mean, we really didn't want to go through a whole long cattle call of singers and stuff, because It's just not fair on the singers, I don't think, and we weren't ready to do something like that because it was still early days and we were still a little bit emotional about things as well, and
right.
all going to work. So, and you know, Tim and Toby do a great job of it. You know, they really work well off each other. So
yeah, they did. They did. You know,
it seems to be working out. Yeah.
Well, you guys do a fantastic job. I'm so glad that I got a chance. Are you guys going to stay together? Or is this just a one this year that you guys are doing, or are you guys going to come back and do some more stuff?
Yeah, we're going to do some more. We're starting up again in January. Tim had some obligations to Yngwie Malmsteen. We start again in January. We got dates coming through. We're just trying to work everything out. So at the moment, yeah, we want to keep doing this for, as long as we can and as long as the fans will have us, you know, kind
right.
of thing. So
right.
it's all looking good.
Well, Simon, there's so many great bands that you've been a part of, AC/DC, UFO, Rhino Bucket, just to name a few. Your first drum kit, I want to know what kind of drum kit you had, your first drum kit. You're 13 years old, because I remember mine. I was 15. It was a five-piece Ludwig. What was your first piece?
Five-piece Ludwig, that's nice. That's cool. Mine was a Premier, an English company and all. It was, actually, it wasn't Premier. I beg your pardon. It was Olympic.
Olympic.
Which is a side company of Premier, and it was pretty beat up, and
mine too.
You know, one rack, one floor, beat up snare, 22-inch bass drum. I had to put it together because the guy next door, had sold it me, and he just left it in his garage, and it got water damage on it and stuff. So I repainted it and. Did it all up, but it was mine. It was mine.
That's right. It was yours.
Finally, you know. So, that was the first one, yeah.
There's something so exhilarating about being able to beat the crap out of those things. I don't know what it is. I know,
well,
I loved it.
You're right, because I think you get put in jail when you beat up people, don't you? I mean,
yes, at least you're mad at somebody.
It's a relief, yeah.
That's great. All right. Well, I heard too, and I read that you, I think when you were 16, you got to play with the band Girl School. That must have been like a kid in a candy store for you. At 16.
Yeah, it was. They were so good. They were great. They're from London. They've got, you know, they're a real riot to be around. I mean, they really are cool. We did a British tour with them, and yeah, it worked out great. I mean, we had a great time on that tour. It was like the first time on tour in a van, and, you know, it was really chaotic, but it was great fun. They're a really good band. They're still going, too, so...
Yeah. Did you have a crush on any of them?
Probably all of them, really. Hey, come on, you know, hormones are going all over the place. And they're up on stage. It was like, they're great. They're great people, you know. It's... They're really, they're instantly likable, you know, all of them. They're really nice.
All right, very cool. So then you got to be a part of AC/DC. Now, that must have been a really big step for you. Were you just blown away? How did that audition come about? How did you get in contact with them?
Well, it was an advert. I'd moved, I'm originally from Manchester, and I moved down to London, and I was kind of hanging around. I was in a band that weren't really doing very much, and I was just kind of sitting around, and there was an ad in the back pages of a music newspaper. It was called Sounds.
Uh-huh.
And I answered the ad, and I go down, and I had to play along to these three songs. One was Zeppelin,
right,
AC/DC tune, and a ZZ Top tune, I think. And I played away, and they seemed to like what I was doing, and they asked me to come back. And when I went back, they were one of their techs was leading me down the hallway to this other rehearsal space. And on the way, there were all these flight cases with AC/DC on them, and I'm going, "Oh no, you got to be kidding, right?"
Oh, I bet you didn't even know. You didn't even know. You had no clue.
I had no clue. They hadn't told me who the band was. They hadn't told me anything. Excuse me. And I'm walking down, and the door opens, and there's Angus and Mal and Cliff. And Ryan wasn't there. He had something, I think he had like family obligations or something. But yeah, and we just said hello. They made me feel real comfortable. I sat down and, you know, right, what do you want to do? You know? And away we went. You know, so.
Wow, how clever of them to do that, like in an ad like that, just and have no idea who you're auditioning for. That's really awesome.
Well, I think word did get around. I mean, I didn't know, but I mean, they had something like this really stupid figure, like 600 drummers turn up. I mean, I guess I got really lucky. God knows why they picked me. I don't know. Maybe I'm the same height as them or something.
You are a little chap, aren't you?
Yeah.
We're going to get you some boots with some heels on them, Simon.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
So you're living out in L.A. How long have you been out in L.A.? Do you ever miss your hometown in Manchester?
I do miss Manchester, yeah. But there's not much work out there. I mean, there are bands, obviously, and stuff. But I've been out here now for such a long time. It must be like close to 20, 23, 24 years, something like that. I mean, so I do miss Manchester. I do. I get to go there and stuff, you know, like for Christmases and stuff.
Right.
Folks, see, they're okay, and me over the mates, they're doing okay, you know.
Right. Well, I have to give you a little bit of a hard time. One of your buddies, Kevin Riddles, from your old band, Titan, said that you still owe him some money from the train fare to Manchester Airport. Like 10 euros, and he said to give you all his best. It was just before you went to go join AC/DC.
Kevin, that boy's delusional.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah. Kevin, I haven't seen those guys in years. There is talk of us doing a show next year, actually.
Yeah, he was talking about, well, let's do a reunion.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Well, we're doing one show. We'll see, you know, it's Kevin got in touch with me and stuff, and I said, because, it ended up being a pretty good album that we recorded way back when.
Right.
And it's a shame it didn't get more exposure. So there's some good songs on there, so it's going to be good to get together and play them live again to an audience, you know. So I'm looking forward to it, you know.
I'm trying to remember a little bit of what we talked about when I met you. I don't know if it was the Budweiser or if I'm thinking straight. Did you tell me you used to play soccer?
I kind of did, yeah. That's cool, but not very well, you know. I mean, you know, I didn't worry anybody, put it that way, you know, because I was so brilliant.
Was that kind of, though, your dream to kind of be into sports before you became a musician?
No, not really. I always, I was a builder for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not a long time, for 2.5 years or so, I guess. And I just got so sick of that, I thought, if I can make a living playing drums, this is what I'm going to do, you know, so... no aspirations to be a sportsman, but
you were, so I do remember correctly. It wasn't the Budweiser.
It wasn't the Budweiser.
Yes. Everybody, Simon shared his Budweiser with me and gave me a nice National Bohemian beer to go.
It was a wonderful, well-aged, in-the-keg Bohemian beer. Yeah. Glad you enjoyed it.
I think I got a little more buzzed off that than I did the Budweiser on the way home.
Yeah, probably.
All right, so what do you think about the way that heavy metal's changed so much since, you know, back in the day, the 80s, the 70s? I mean, I'm old school. That's kind of what I base my show around, because I just love the old school style and stuff.
I like the old school stuff. I mean, it's like that. There was some great bands out there and stuff. But I think all music goes through cycles, you know. I don't think heavy metal's ever gone away, but it goes through cycles where it's very, very popular.
Right.
And it becomes a little bit underground again, and bands start breeding and coming out and stuff, and, making great albums and stuff. So I don't know, some of the new metal out today, you know, is, you can hear a lot of the old school in it.
Yeah.
That they've taken a fresh new look at it and put, you know, new ideas to it and stuff, and new angles, and it's all pretty good. I don't think it ever went away.
Right. So, Simon, what have you been doing since the last show that you guys do? What do you do on your downtime?
Oh, I'm I do sessions and stuff. That I got friends here in LA and stuff. I'm always doing little bits of, you know, recording parts here and there and stuff like that. So I keep my hand in that way. And other than that, just, you know, relaxing a bit and stuff. And because it was pretty hectic last year. So yeah, I'm just getting ready, and I don't really do much, to be honest with you. Like,
just gonna hang out.
The ball around the garden.
You have a garden.
Well, yeah, it's a backyard. Yeah.
Sit out there on the garden, drink some beers.
There you go. That's the way to do it.
All right, Simon. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on today. People can reach you over there at your Facebook page. What's your Facebook ID over there?
Yeah, it's Simon Wright on Facebook.
All right.
I also have had to create another page because I've got so many friends. It's Simon Wright Band Musician, or so people can get in touch with me there if they want to. Or
right. Yeah. All right, you guys, you check him out. Once again, the legendary man himself, drummer Simon Wright from Dio's Disciples. Simon, give me a quick shout-out to all your fans out there. Just say, hey, this is drummer Simon Wright. You're listening to DJ Lovey Laura on Hard Rock Radio Live.
Hi, this is Simon Wright from Dio Disciples, and you're listening to DJ Laura on Hard Rock Radio Live.